watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Second hour on this Friday, May 30th, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on Fridays from 10 to 11, Pastor Rusty Chatfield comes to us with a lesson plan, a discussion. And today, sir, you're talking about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
Correct. This last week, Wednesday, we went down to took some of the boys down to Henry Ford Museum. Afterward, we watched the Tigers play the Giants at Comerica Park. It was a field trip. But at in Henry Ford Museum is the rocking chair in which Abraham Lincoln was rocking and sitting in when he was assassinated in Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. on April 14th, 1865, 10:20 p.m. So I got a picture of myself there. Somebody took a picture. And I just kind of sat there in the Lincoln section of the Henry Ford Museum. And there's other memorabilia. But that's the chair that he was sitting in when he was assassinated. Then you get kind of a, wow. Now that's something.
Sure.
I remember when I went to Israel a few months ago, and people had asked me, well, did you have a, was it a moving experience? And it says it's, yeah, it was kind of moving, but not as moving as the Lincoln chair. Why? Well, I believe the Bible by faith, and almost everything in Israel, you have things like where the scholars believe this is where the Sermon on the Mount was preached, on the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee, or we believe this is the tomb, the garden tomb where Jesus was buried, or there's two different sites. Some believe in what's called the Garden Tomb. Others believe in the older, more traditional resurrection site upon which is a Roman Catholic Church built. Well, exactly where was the tomb, Pastor Chatfield? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, all those things are conjecture. I mean, people study it, and there's history, and both sides make their arguments exactly where was what we call Mount Calvary, which is the Latin word for the place of the skull. Where was it exactly that he was crucified? Where was it exactly in Bethlehem was he born? And we went to the place, you know, in Bethlehem where he was born, and we know he was born in Bethlehem, but we're not sure. I mean, all these things are we're not sure. Went to all sorts of places in Israel. Some places were more sure. We went to the hill in Nazareth where he looked down. You could, the city sit on this kind of a cliff, and you could see where the unbelieving Jews were ready to push him over the cliff. That we know, but exactly, precisely, not sure. But this chair, we are sure it was preserved, and it's housed at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, mm-hmm. right there. There's still bloodstains you still see the bloodstains.
Wow.
So it got me thinking about the assassination attempt. Excuse me, assassination, not just an sure. attempt, a successful.
Yep.
And why did all this happen? And there you go. Why did this happen?
We're going to talk about that, but it's kind of eerie almost. Like you said, this is the chair, you know, that he was actually sitting in. And like you said, his blood stains are still in it. You know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because it was preserved and kept and now is displayed there. I had no idea that was at the Ford Museum there in Dearborn. I thought that might have been in Washington, D.C., but man, we've got some important history right there in Michigan.
Exactly right.
Yeah, excellent. We'll continue the conversation with Pastor Chatfield. Short break. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
If you're nearing 65, you're probably being bombarded by insurance companies by mail and phone, trying to sell you this product or that. Laura Bogdan has personally looked after the needs of seniors, taking the time to explain how Medicare works and other benefits you may not even be aware of. Laura is ready to help you today.
I'm Laura Bogdan. Call me today, 231-264-6890, 231-264-6890.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Antrim County Conservative Union 6th Annual Fun Shoot and Pig Roast, Saturday, July 19th from noon till 4 p.m. in Central Lake, Michigan. Come join us. Bring your firearms and ammo as the safety gun ranges will be open. They will be serving an iron pig smoked pulled pork dinner with all the fixings, including Trucker Randy's world-famous carrot cake. Check out all the details and make a donation for your tickets at their website, acconservatives.org, or call 231-420-8320. See you there!
Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can. When it's time for leaving, I hope you understand that I was born a rambling man.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Continuing our conversation with Pastor Chatfield regarding the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And it's interesting. I remember the history of it where, like you said, he was shot on April 14th, but actually died the next morning on April 15th. And that that day is interesting because the Titanic struck the iceberg late on the 14th and actually sunk the same day, April 15th. And now, of course, tax day is April 15th. And I saw a story years ago about all the interesting connections around April 15th. But
what? Lexington Concord battle. It was either the 14th yes. or the 15th
to the
in 15th. 1775. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want to ask you this question because a lot of people don't understand the motivation of John Wilkes Booth. And I think that's part of the story we have to talk about first is why, number one, what was his position on the Civil War, on slavery? And why was it that he had it out for Lincoln and plotted to shoot him in the head there in the play, during the play in the Washington Theater?
He was a Southern sympathizer, didn't join the Southern Confederate Army, but was a Southern sympathizer and was a very well-known actor. He was from a family of actors. Abraham Lincoln knew of him. And like everybody would have that followed acting on stage, he was a famous actor, and so Abraham knew of him. There's no question about this. This was a conspiracy. Originally, they were going to try to kidnap the president, hold him hostage, and try to negotiate the end of the war with the North recognizing Confederate independence. That didn't pan out. But he had a group of people. The original plan was to kill Lincoln and then to potentially kill Grant. Ulysses S. Grant was supposed to be at the theater that day, that evening, but he begged off, said he had a family get-together in New Jersey that he had to go to. Lincoln invited the Speaker of the House, Colfax, to come, but he had other arrangements, so he had invited this Rathbone, Major Rathbone, who was in the military, to come. And so they were sitting there. It was a comedy, Our American Cousin, and which Booth knew when, and it was timed, when things would get funny, get loud, and he would shoot them hoping that the shots would be drowned out. The timing didn't work, but he shot Lincoln, and his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, screamed, "Shot the president!" And it was a deathly silence. John Wilkes Booth jumped off the presidential, what do you call these, you know, the, not the stage, the, you know, these
the,
little...
The balcony.
A little special place for the president.
Yep.
Jumped off, caught his heel on a flag, fell, broke his leg, and yelled, "Sic Semper Tyrannis," Latin for "Thus be it ever to tyrants," is also the saying of the state of Virginia. He limps off stage and so on. Now, I mean, let me go back to the original. Where was Lincoln's bodyguard? He had a bodyguard whose name was Parker, who kind of started watching the play, but then just left his post, went to a bar across the street and started drinking. Ironically, we believe that it was the same bar that John Wilkes Booth had drank before, and maybe they were there at the same time. In other words, he was coming in, John Wilkes Booth was there getting courage, and they possibly saw each other. We don't know that, but they both drank at the same bar at the same day. John Wilkes Booth makes his way up to the presidential box. Lo and behold, no bodyguard there. What happens to this Parker who's supposed to be guarding him? Nothing, really. Eventually, nothing happens to him. I mean, he got reprimanded for leaving his post.
Sure.
But so he just steps in, and just from a couple feet away with this one-shot little pistol, he shoots President Lincoln in the back of his head. He kills him. Now, strange goings on. Strange. Here's one of the strange things. His wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, President Lincoln's wife, never really recovers from this. She had lost two sons, one while they were in the White House, one earlier. And now she loses her husband. And eventually, her oldest son, who did survive, Robert Lincoln, Robert Todd Lincoln, he stays in government, but he has her confined to a home in Springfield, and she spends the last few years never leaving her house. Just totally insane, the president of Lincoln. And Rathbone, the guy that was in the booth with Lincoln, must have been traumatized by this. Later, the lady he was with that he eventually married, he murders her and tries to kill himself and spends his last days in a mental institution. I mean, the whole thing is very, a lot of strange goings on. This was a conspiracy for John Wilkes Booth to kill Lincoln, somebody else to kill William Seward, somebody else to kill Vice President Johnson. None of those worked out. A guy did make it into where Seward was. He'd been injured in a carriage accident. He stabs him, but Seward survives. The other fellow that was supposed to shoot Vice President Johnson chickens out in the end. By the way, Mary Todd Lincoln believed after the assassination that it was a plot by Seward was in on it. Excuse me, not Seward, Johnson, so he could be president. I mean, things like this traumatize people, and you get crazy, crazy notions. And just like there were conspiracy theories in all of our, especially JFK's assassination, conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, what coulda, shoulda, you know, I mean, I think we've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah, we've gone down that.
It is a rabbit hole. I'm not going down there.
Have you actually been to Daley Plaza?
Yes. As crazy as it sounds, I think the Warren Report probably had it right. Everybody wants to play historian and say, well, it was Lyndon Johnson, or it was the mafia, or it was the communist, or it was Castro.
Donald Trump ended up releasing a lot of those files that people are still to this day right now going through. And I wonder if anybody's ever going to come out definitively with what was in those files and come out with new information. Still waiting to see if that happens. But
I don't waste my time on that. I'm just not going to waste my time. I got other stuff to do.
Yeah, we do.
I'm not going to read all those reports and all these theories and so on and so forth. But eventually, I mean, John Wilkes Booth jumps to the stage, breaks his leg, cries out, you know, Sic Semper Tyrannis, limps off the stage, gets on a horse, and survives for 12 days. Is eventually caught in Virginia. And he's shot. The last words is he lifts his hands and says, useless, useless. He didn't succeed. I think he was somewhat guilty or had a guilty conscience in his own mind for not joining the Confederate Army. Because he was somewhat evidently a coward. Doesn't take a whole lot of courage to walk up behind somebody and put a bullet in the back of their head.
Right.
Takes very little courage to that.
Now, did he, so during his apprehension is when he was shot, he didn't actually go through a trial or anything like that. He was killed when they found him, and was he trying to fight back, and that's why they killed him?
Yes. He was in a barn. They let the barn on fire. He kind of shoots back. They kill him. Another guy surrenders. Later, there was a number of people that were hung over this, one of which was Mary Surratt, who was a Southern sympathizer. And she was hanged because they stayed at her place, kind of a boarding house, and evidently they thought there was enough evidence to hang her. And this was... John Wilkes Booth's motive was not just to kill the president, kill the vice president, send the federal government into chaos, and somehow save the Union, or excuse me, save the Confederacy. This time, Lee had already surrendered to Grant. Excuse me, I messed up again here. Lee had given up Petersburg and Richmond and had fled. He was being chased by Grant. That, the final backup, he had surrendered, but the war was not completely over. There was a Southern general, Johnston, who was in the South, had surrendered. And so this was a last gasp attempt to preserve the Confederacy. Stupid? Yes. It wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. So, I mean, things were, that is the way it is. I mean, Grant was a national hero by now. Reminds me, like, Grant literally becomes president the same way as Eisenhower becomes president after D-Day. You win, you're a hero. You lose, you're a scoundrel. That is the way it is. Yep. So the war was winding down. And somehow, Booth thought he could make a difference by killing the president.
Now, in that process, Pat Chatfield, this basically shocked the nation. I mean, it went into mourning for a long time. And this act, this cowardly act of, like you said, shooting him in the back of the head. Do you believe that this assassination brought the country together? Did it seem to say, okay, this is it, it's over, the Confederacy lost, and now we have to come together, kind of out of respect to the president and his assassination? Do you think that was part of the healing process as to what this caused?
In a word, no. In the North, maybe a little. In the North, maybe. But even there was, I read reports about Northerners saying, get this, everybody. Lincoln, during the Civil War, was not very popular. The radical Republicans, the abolitionists, say he's not taking a strong enough stand against slavery. And when he finally issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which took effect on January 1st, 1863, which declared all the slaves in the states that were in rebellion against the Union to be free, they yelled and cried, hey, he didn't go far enough. Northerners, who were Union Democrats or just Unionists, they weren't fighting this to free no slaves. A lot of them quit the war, said, we didn't fight this to free the slaves. Not at all. We just fought this to preserve the Union. And so he couldn't win. And after the assassination, some people are saying, well, good. Well, we'll get a better president. I mean, if you were a pro-Union Democrat, you'd want Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson was the vice president. He was, and Lincoln was the first president to be assassinated. He was the only Southerner senator that stayed at his post when his state ostensibly seceded from the Union. He was a sitting United States senator when he was elected. And so Lincoln chose him thinking, we're going to win this. If we win this election, we're going to usher the South back into the Union. And that's in the South, most of them are saying good. Listen, everybody, it was 100 years almost before the South reconciled themselves to Lincoln. Oh,
yeah. No, I get all that. Absolutely. Great, perfect spot for a break. Bottom of the hour news of hour number two. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's lead.